This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Our theme for this year is invitation. It's something we are looking at in different angles and different ways, and we'll be looking at this for quite a long time. One of the things that's inspired it is this book, or a couple of books, this is one of them, by a guy called Michael Harvey. And I think it's up on the screen. Yes, if you go to Vineyard Records Bookshop and put in Flowers 10, they give you 10% off, apparently. I commend it to you. He is coming to speak, actually, at the beginning of September. He's coming to teach us and to come and speak on this subject. Last time I spoke about this, I talked about the clock. Do you remember the clock? And the point being that when we interact with somebody, they could be at 5 past 12 or at 5 past 11 or 5 to 12. In other words, we could be interacting with them at the point where they're just about ready to respond and make a step forward, or we might be right at the beginning of their journey. We don't know. And all our job is to do is to make the invitation. And that's a success, to make the invitation. Whether how they respond is not the point. That's what I was talking about last time. And one of the things that we did last time was that, one of the first times we talked about was that we put this board up over here, and I invited you to pray and to ask the Lord to give you the name of somebody, or maybe a couple of people, who God seems to put on your heart to pray for and perhaps to invite. And as you can see, loads of them have been written up. And over the course of the this morning, if you want to add another name to that or another, you want to go and pray for them, please do. This is sort of our invitation prayer board, if you like. My conclusion in thinking about this is that we're a very welcoming church, and I'd love us to become an inviting church. When Alice and I were first planting the church, 15, 20 years ago, there was a particular couple that I'd prayed for years that we'd known in Leeds when we were in Leeds 30, 40 years ago. And I'd played rugby with them, and we'd gone on holiday with them and stuff. And when I said I played rugby with them, with him, not with her, that wouldn't have been appropriate. And they were good friends. They were non-Christians, but they were good friends. And I prayed for them regularly for 10, 20, 30 years. And when we came here, they invited us to their house for parties and things, and we invited them to ours, and I would invite them to church stuff, and they never, ever came. And then one day, after about a couple of years, they turned around to me and they said, David, they said, we're not going to come. Stop inviting us. No explanation, nothing. Like that. Right. As I reflect on it, I think some of my invitations were sending them an invitation, which is more like marketing. It's advertising, not inviting, really. So I wasn't very good at it. And then recently, as I've been praying through this, God has put on my heart one particular neighbor. Let's call him Fred, about my age and stage in life. And I was challenged about inviting him about a year ago. I mean, we know each other. We have meals at each other's houses and stuff, but I'd never invited him to anything here. And so it took me some months, but eventually I invited him to the carol service and to the walk on Ilkley Moor and a couple of other things. And he said no. For good reasons, no doubt, but he said no. And still now, we still haven't progressed that, and it's taken me a year. And is that a success or a failure? And what do I feel like when I do it? I realize as I think about it that I'm afraid. And you look at me, those of you who know me know that that doesn't really fit with my personality. But I am. There's a bit of me that's got fear in there. But what I'm learning is that when I'm afraid, when I sense fear, God is at work. He's at work in me, and he's at work in my friend, and he's doing something. So when you wrote your name up here, and we talked about this some months ago, those of you who are here, how are you getting on? Have you invited them? Have they said yes? Have they come to anything? I don't necessarily mean on Sunday mornings. It might be to your small group or just to your house for a party or something. How's it gone? If you have, You probably went through that same thing I'm going through, of sensing, you may not have thought of it as fear, but something that resists. It's a bit like, as I was thinking about this, it's a bit like going on a first date. I don't know if, it was a long, long time ago, but when I asked Alison to go out, I haven't got enough fingers. All it was an invitation to the cinema, no big deal, but it's a big deal. What's going on there? There's something really important happening, although it's just a visit to the cinema. And it's a bit like that. It's just an invitation to come on a Sunday or to come to a small group, but it's a big deal. There's something else going on. It seems a weighty issue. And so we feel some fear. We're a bit in awe of what might or might not happen. Have you noticed, have you read in the Bible, what happens when God turns up? You know, when an angel arrives or an emissary from God, what's the first words that are normally said? Don't be afraid. And why is that? It's because they're afraid. Okay? There's a need to be told not to be afraid because they are afraid. And there's a sort of correlation between God being around and fear. There's a correlation between God being around and fear. So when you sense that little fear thing, another spin on that is it's a God thing. God's around. What's he doing? It's because it's a God moment when anything can happen. And there's some awe in that and lack of control and not being able to control the outcome. So we're all looking for acceptance, aren't we, and approval. We want people to like us, and so we do stuff to earn their approval. I'm reminded of a story of four sons who were vying to get their mother's affection. And their mother was their 90th birthday, and so they sent her presents to get her affection. And the eldest son, David, sent a ticket for a fortnight's holiday in the Bahamas. And the second son sent tickets for the front row best seats in the house for the opera at the Grand Theatre in Leeds, because she loved opera. And the third son, Andrew, sent a year's membership of the National Trust. And the fourth son, Simon, went over the top, and he spent £50,000 and he bought a parrot. But a parrot that could speak, and moreover, a parrot that had memorized the entire Bible. And it could speak the Bible. And a few days later, the mother sent a letter back to them all saying, in fact, she used email. She was that sort of grandmother. She sent an email and she said, "Dear sons, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the trip to Bahamas. Difficult, I can't get insurance to travel at my age, but I appreciate the gift. And thank you for the front row seats at the Grand. I love opera, but I'm nearly deaf and I'm partly blind. But I appreciate the offer. And thank you for the membership of the National Trust. I love those buildings, but I can't drive and I can't get around. But I appreciate the offer. And thank you, Simon. That was such a good gift. I really appreciate that. Tasted beautiful. We work hard to try and get that sort of approval, to get accepted. We'll do anything, even stupid things. And when we're going to make an invitation, there's a little bit of fear that somebody's not going to like what we offer them. They're not going to approve. And why? Because we can't control the outcome. It's fear of rejection. We may get rejected. We may get rejected. We may be made to feel full of shame. We may think we're going to look stupid. We may be picked on. We may be made the object of humiliation. And it feeds into lots of other areas of our life, doesn't it? Who do you know who's been rejected? Who do we follow and serve who has been rejected? Yeah, Jesus. He's the most rejected of all. The story of his life is rejection, ultimately in his betrayal and his execution. Jesus made many invitations. A few accepted, but most people rejected him. But he didn't try and control the outcome. Would you like to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10? Mark is one of the biographies about Jesus. I'm reading this from the new NIV, the New International Version. It's different from the one in the pew, but it is up on the screen behind me. By the way, I'm just a little warning. From September, we're not going to have the words on the screen. I'm going to encourage you to bring a Bible with you, either in digital form or preferably in written paper form. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. We've got lots of them that we're going to have stacked up at the back. And because I found over the years that I engage better with the scripture when it's mine. It's my book and I know where it is and I can go back and look at it again. And I want to encourage you in that. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 23. So the Bible's marked out in each chapter, each block is given a number. And then within each chapter that's numbered, there are numbered sentences. That's the way we find our way around. So it's Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom." This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right. It's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words. We ask you to help us understand them and to grow as we follow you. I pray that as we reflect on them, we'll change. I thank you for the life of this church, for all the people who are on holiday all over the place. Would you bless them, keep them safe. May they have lots of rest and fun. Thank you for the people who give regularly to Leeds Vineyard and for that offering of worship in itself. Thank you for the resources you give us week by week to do the things we do. And I pray that you'll be with us now as I speak and that you'll bless these words and allow them to take root in our hearts. Amen. So Jesus' invitation to the young man was rejected. Was I overplaying it when I said I was afraid of inviting Fred? Okay, it's not like a horror story. I'm not quaking in my boots. I don't think I'm going to be injured. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid of rejection, the rejection that Jesus experienced. I'm afraid of that. If I were to ask you, and when we do this, I say, what's the number one reason why you find it difficult to invite people to something? Underneath it, nearly everybody says, fear of rejection. So let's name it for what it is. It's fear. And to address the fear produces a beautiful result. That's what I want to look at for the next 10 minutes. As a pastor, I often find myself encouraging people to restore relationships with one another. I've had several conversations this week about this already. And usually I find that the issue that hurts, that keeps people apart, is long gone. That's no longer smarting. That's no longer the issue anymore. What I usually find is that it's fear of rejection in reforming those relationships is the issue. And when we make an invitation, it's the same thing. Fear is hiding. It's hiding. It's hiding behind when you make an excuse. So you say, I don't want to invite that person because what I'm inviting them to isn't good enough. Or I don't want to invite them to come on a Sunday because what if somebody raises their hands? It'd be embarrassing. Or you put it off. I'll do that next week. I'm a bit busy this week. Or you don't tell anybody else so that you can't be held accountable. How are you getting on inviting Fred? Or you say, I'm thinking about it. No, I don't think they would like that. I say no for them. Lots and lots of ways which actually hide fear. Fear of being rejected. This man that came to Jesus was wealthy and young, and which probably meant he was good looking and talented and popular. And it says Jesus saw him and loved him. Jesus liked him immediately. And he kneels in front of Jesus. He asks this question, how do I get to heaven? Today he might say, the language might be, how can I become a Christian? When are you running an Alpha course? Or what's your church like? What's Jesus' reply? Is it like an easy answer, a beautifully designed invitation card, color-coordinated with the logo of the church, and a slick patter, inviting him to an event with a stonking band, a state-of-the-art lighting, and a star speaker? Is that what Jesus does? No, Jesus gives him an almost impossible hurdle to jump. What does he say? Go, sell everything you have, and give to the poor. That's the invitation Jesus makes. Ah, guess what? He doesn't take it up, and he goes away. What does Jesus do? Does Jesus beat himself up over that? Oh, I'm Jesus, I know, but I've failed. No, he doesn't try and control the outcome. He just invites. Lots of people left Jesus. John 6:66 tells us, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So when we see Mr. Popular, Mrs. Popular, and we're really keen to make them say yes, but we're also really fearful that they might walk away. We really want them to like us and like our event and like our church and like the invitation. We don't want them to reject us or reject our event. We don't want to be laughed at or thought of as stupid or weird or naive or wrong. We don't want any of those things to go on. Jesus is well aware of rejection, but he doesn't allow that to stop him. He doesn't let anything stop him from making invitations, even if it's a hard one. And all he does is ask us to do the same. Let's think about the rich young man. What's going on with him? I think he was fearful. I think he had fear. I think there's stuff in his life, and there is in everybody's life around us. And as they come towards Jesus, whether they know that's what they're doing or not, there's a sort of, I've got these problems and this issues in my life, and is this going to help or not help? This person, Jesus, looks fantastic, but maybe he's going to make too big an ask. Will I get judged? If I turn up at that church, are they going to judge me? Are they going to say, you shouldn't be like that, you shouldn't wear that, you shouldn't smoke that, you shouldn't live that way? I think he was fearful. And here's the thing. On one side of the threshold of the church, I don't mean that threshold, I mean the barrier or the threshold between the community of faith and those who are not in the community of faith. On that threshold, you've got us, or the person in the church wanted to make the invitation and they're afraid, and you've got the person being invited coming towards the church and they're afraid. And on the threshold is fear. Isn't that remarkable? And what do we do at that point? What's happening there? And what are our choices at that point? What's happening to me? What's happening to you as you make the invitation? Okay, you're not quaking with terror, perhaps, but there's this fear of rejection, of shame, of not being able to control the outcome. And our natural tendency at that point is to run away, put it off, make excuses. And at that point, when you find yourself running away, making the excuse, and you think, David says that when I make an excuse, that's fear. And when there's fear around, that's because God's doing something. So the beautiful thing here is when we spot that is to say, what are you doing, God, at this point? Rather than running away, what are you doing, God? What's happening? That's the beautiful thing about fear. It's a signpost. It's a searchlight helping us see what God's doing in us. And what does it do? That fear reveals a deep need for acceptance in me. My fear of rejection. I want to be loved. I want to be wanted. I want to be affirmed. And that deep need in me expresses itself in fear that somebody will say no. When we identify that, we're learning to trust in Jesus' love for us, his acceptance of us, and we learn that our identity does not rest on our popularity. Get it? So yes, David, if you do. You don't. I'll have to do that again. The beautiful thing about this fear is that it brings me face to face with Jesus and with whether or not I trust him, with my life, with my identity, with my being affirmed. Am I a child of God and loved, or am I not? Whatever anybody else says or thinks. I'm not inviting in order to get acceptance. I'm inviting because he invited me. That's the source of my life and purpose and meaning. He invites me. That's all that matters. So my invitation to somebody else is just a response to his invitation to me. And what they say is their thing. What's happening to Fred on the other side of the threshold? When he walks away from Jesus, what's he afraid of? He's saying, what if it's a con? What if it's a sect or a cult? What if I'm judged and rejected? No, that's too big ask. I'm going to have to change my life. God is at work in the life of this young man. He's at work in the life of the person that he's put on your heart. God is at work in there right now. In the Fred. Out of 7 billion people on the face of the planet, God has put one or two or three people on your heart. Why? Out of those 7 billion? Because he's doing something with them and he wants you involved. God's at work in this. And their fear reveals their deep desire for more forgiveness and acceptance too. They may not be able to articulate it that way, but that's what's going on. God is stirring up a need in their hearts. It's a beautiful thing to see God working us in somebody's heart, wooing and calling them. There's me on one side and there's them on the other side of this threshold. What's the result? We recognize there's an element of fear when we see this resistance, and we recognize that it's a beautiful thing because we can see what God's doing in our life and we can see what he's beginning to do in somebody else's life. What happens when we don't push through that fear? The invitation doesn't get made, so God has to use somebody else to invite them. But what actually happens is that fear that sits in us gets bedded in a bit more. We believe it a bit more. We feel it a bit more, and it becomes that more certain in our lives. Gets a foothold. What happens, on the other hand, when we do step through our fear, when we face our fears, when we look for the beautiful thing that God's doing, when we reach our hand out over the threshold to help the person cross it? Three beautiful things happen to finish with. One is that we grow in our dependence on Jesus. In that moment, we grow in our dependence on him. We get our acceptance from him. We get our identity from him. Each time we face that fear of rejection and we make the invitation, hand in hand with the one who was rejected, we grow in our faith and we become more sure in our identity as a redeemed child of God. That's the first thing. The second thing that happens is we get to play. We have a value saying in the Vineyard that we get to play. We find ourselves participating in God's mission. His Holy Spirit is at work in the life of somebody and we get a front row seat. Wow! That's amazing. The God of the universe is working in somebody and we get to be part of that action when we go through the fear. And the last thing is that the fruit of the Spirit grows in our lives. You change. You become more like Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit grows. Love grows. Love is experienced when love is expressed, not in a vacuum. So when you step across the threshold because you love someone enough to take that risk, to make the invitation, you're growing the fruit of love in your life. Joy is experienced when you've made the invitation. Whatever they say, just your obedience and response to the nudge of the Holy Spirit, knowing that he's doing something, will release joy into your life. Peace This is the fruit of the Spirit, is experienced when the storm has passed. Once that awe and wonder, what's God doing here, has been negotiated and you've walked through it, not when you're waiting nervously on this side. And patience is experienced when you've tried and tried again, when you've been faithful in working with God as he completes his work. You see? The fantastic thing that happens, it's a beautiful thing that happens when we see the fear and we find out what it's for and we go through it. It can be a beautiful thing if we recognize it. It draws us closer to what Jesus is doing in our lives. We get in on the Holy Spirit's action in somebody else's life and it produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. Let me conclude. Just think back to that person whose name you've written down over there, or maybe the person you've been thinking about as I've been talking. When I say let's become an inviting church and you think of that person, what emotion comes to mind? Is there a little fear in there? And if so, what's going on? Let's see that as a beautiful thing. Let's name it for what it is and let us ask God to reveal to us what he's doing in us and in those we invite. Let us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, step into God's purpose for us and for the world and for our friend. And let us see the fruit of the Spirit grow in our lives. Yeah? I just want to pray through that a little bit with you. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. We thank you that you've been here all morning, and we just ask you to fall on us again. Let us know you speaking to us and touching us and calling us right now. As I've been talking and talking about the fear of rejection, that's been resonant with some of you. So I just want to pray for you, if that's you. Lord, I pray for everybody here who senses that fear of rejection, that maybe, probably not for the first time, but possibly for the first time, they've sort of discerned that's what's going on. And I call it out. I call it out in Jesus' name. I set you free from that sort of fear. In Jesus' name, I call out the fear of rejection. Why don't you stand? So if that fear of rejection is beyond the helpful, beautiful thing, but is actually something that you sense deep in you, that's a sort of lodged its place, I just want to pray for you. Just receive his presence. Let him come. He's a God who loves you and wants to set you free. So I pray, Lord, would you set people free right now? If that's become lodged, that fear of rejection, would you show them how much you love us? Show us your love. Show us your love. Heal that fear of rejection, Lord. I call it out in Jesus' name. I was praying for anybody here who doesn't know Jesus and this is all new to them, but you think that you may want to follow him because he's wonderful and he sets us free. So if that's you, then I encourage you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for what's come between you and me. I don't understand it all, but I want to follow you. So I repent and I turn to you. Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And help me to live for you. Amen. Does anybody have any words of knowledge they want to share? I think this, if you have a mouth condition, I don't know, mouth ulcers or something like that, I would love to pray for you today. I think that maybe one or two people with that. And if this fear thing is an oppression for you, and what I was just praying was relevant for you, I'd love it if you would come forward at the end and we can just pray for you some more. Anything else? Anybody else got anything? I think there are some people here who are working, chewing over a calling into what we call ministry. I think you've been watching Ben and Kate go off to church plant in Edinburgh, and it's got you stirring, thinking about a calling to ministry, whether full-time or not paid or just whatever it is, but you know that there's something else for you to do. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you too. Anybody else? You've all gone very quiet. Okay. I'm going to finish in a moment, and then I'd invite you, if you'd like us to pray for you, just come up to the front here, and I'll get some nice person to come and pray with you. We will. And go and get the kids if you've got kids, and then come back, and we'll pray for you afterwards. Please don't leave the building without allowing God to minister to you and to change you. It's a real waste of time if you come here and you go to the worship and everything else and you leave exactly the same. Make sure somebody prays with you and ministers to you. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for Oliver and we ask you to bless him. We thank you for our time of worship and praying for each other and for what the children are doing. We celebrate what you do in our lives and the way you change us and transform us, the way you call us towards you and to change the world. And we ask you to release in us a gifting and an ability, a desire to be able to be inviting because you've first invited us. We bless what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week. Do come up here if you'd like us to pray for you some more.